Welcome to the National Community Church Podcast. We're thrilled to be able to share this weekend's message with you. You can find us on national.cc or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Created on purpose, for a purpose, to share a purpose. I believe that we are created on purpose by God, not by chance, not by accident, but he knew us before he even formed us in our mother's womb. Handcrafted. I believe I was created for a purpose by God's perfect Trinity self. I believe that a theology of the Trinity is critical to our understanding of why we were created. You see, Creator God in perfect unity, perfect love, perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect harmony with one another. What reason would an entity that is in perfect relationship, experiencing perfect happiness and joy, for what reason would that entity have to create another being? The only reasonable explanation is that it wanted to share his happiness, his love, with someone else. I believe I was created for a purpose, to receive the love of the Father, to receive and be fully known and fully accepted in who I am. Created on purpose, for a purpose, and I believe I was created to share a purpose. The purpose for us all to know God's love, that it's not just about me, but it's about us. In a communal, in a relational setting, to know the love and acceptance of a perfect God and his perfect love towards us, to be reconciled and restored to God's original intention, and to realize the fullness of the experience of love only happens and always happens when we experience it and share it with those around us. Welcome to National Community Church. This weekend, we continue our mission series. As we look back over the last three weekends, we realize that there is a trajectory to how we have tackled this subject of missions. And it starts with part one being this, that God is a missional God. He is a sending God. It is his very nature. It is who he is. He is not only a sending God, but he is a sent God. The scripture says that, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. God sent his son out of love. Living on mission is about embodiment. It is not about achievement. It is not even about effort. It is about embodying the love of the Father that is a missional, sending, sent God. Pastor Zeb talked about it so beautifully in week one when he talked to us about we need to prioritize the presence of God. We need to prioritize getting into the presence and experiencing the presence and embodying the presence so that we can share the presence. We can't go or represent or share what we do not know for ourselves. He sent his son, then he sent his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then he sent his church into the world, which leads me to part two of our series. Not only is God a sending or a missional God, but God activates a missional church. Pastor Dave tackled this subject so beautifully last week. You see, it's not that God has a mission for his church. It's that God has a church for his mission. His mission to reach the world, his mission to heal, to restore, and to reconcile the world unto himself as we live from God's love. Which flows in to part three, which is what we want to talk about today, and that is that we are a missional people. We serve a missional God who activates a missional church to disciple people who live on mission every day. Ordinary people empowered by God's Spirit doing what Jesus did wherever they go. That is the essence of living on mission, created on purpose, for a purpose, to share a purpose. So once again, we look at Acts chapter 1, which is where we've been hanging out this entire series, because this really is a springboard for us understanding what it means to live on mission. Let's read it together, starting again in verse 8. And this is what it says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I would like to talk for a few minutes this weekend about this power that is referred to here in this verse. The word power there is the Greek word dunamis, which is the word, we get the word dynamite from that power. So this is not some ordinary, just run-of-the-mill type of power. This is a dynamite, explosive power that has impact not just on the possessor, but on all those who they come in contact with, everyone around them. And so I want to talk about this power, and then I want to talk about the practical application of living that out in your life. You see, here's the thing. We can talk about this all day, but if we aren't moving toward application, then we are missing the fullness of all that is the soil and the spirit colliding together. And you see, there's all these elements that we need to be considering. There is the knowing, and then there is the experiencing, and then there is the application or the living out or the sharing of it. And so we need to realize that we are talking about an encounter with the Spirit of the living God, with the creator of all that is, with the one who holds all things together and in whom all things are held together. We're not simply trying to understand the theology or the ontology or the psychology of the Holy Spirit, but we are seeking to encounter him in our lives, in our own experience, and then to be the expression of that to the world around us. I love what Anthony DeMello says. He says this: the early church did not offer people a theology of the Holy Spirit. The theology would come later. All they had to offer was the Holy Spirit himself, the experience of his power. And then I love how he finishes the quote. He says this: the hungry man wants food. He doesn't want a beautiful picture of it. So we can learn and talk about and understand the power of the Holy Spirit, but until we are experiencing it, we cannot give that experience away. The world is not looking for a theology of the Holy Spirit. And people within the church are not simply looking to understand it, but we are looking to experience an encounter with the God who created us, who is, who was, and forevermore shall be. And so we want to move into that space of encountering him. And so I want to talk for a few minutes today about that power and about the fact that that power has a purpose, it's for a place, it flows through a person, and it transforms a people. Are you ready? If you're ready, drop it in the chat. Say, I'm ready. Or hey, if you're listening on demand, tap somebody next to you and tell them, I'm ready. If you're listening to this on our podcast, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand right where you're at. Everybody around you is going to look at you and wonder what's going on. That's okay. I'd just love to invite us into responding, because you know what? At the end of the day and at the end of this message, I want to move us toward an application, because once again, it's about understanding, yes, but it's about moving to a response. And so thanks for responding in that moment in the space that you're in. So here we go. Ready? Number one, the power has a purpose, and you shall be my witnesses. The direction of the power is outward. It is meant to be shared. I think we often get confused, because when we come into relationship with Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit, we experience a joy unspeakable, a peace that passes understanding, and a fulfillment that we have never encountered before. And a lot of times we think this is the destination. We think we have arrived and that's where we want to hang out, right? We want to stay in the place of his presence. We get there and we think this is where we need to stay. But you must understand that the power has a purpose. And the purpose is to testify. The purpose is to experience that shalom, but then to take that shalom out into the places where we live and we work and we play. It is the kingdom of heaven becoming the kingdom of earth when we take that shalom presence of God with us and we express that and we recognize it in those around us and we acknowledge it in those who are living their lives and bearing witness to it and sharing it. And I think one of the reasons we often get stuck in our faith journey and especially in our relationship, even with the church, is because we think of it as a destination to come and to be filled and to be satisfied. But I've got news. National Community Church does not exist, and we are not just trying to build a community here where you can come and get fed and inspired and filled up and experience joy. Rather, we are trying to build a community here that lives on mission, a community that is sent, a community that is responding to the experience of God by taking it in to the world around us, a community that looks outward. You see, the church itself cannot and will not survive with a come and see mentality. But we must live with a go and be mandate. The call of God and the power of the Holy Spirit has a purpose. Number two, the power is for a place. This passage says, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The invitation here is to consider our physical context, our place. This is not just some nebulous, unbordered idea, but rather it is an invitation to inhabit your context. God has filled you with his power through the Holy Spirit to reach your place specifically. There is something significant about the fact that God placed Adam in a place, the Garden of Eden, and gave him a mandate to be the expression of him, to express that in that specific place. There is something significant about the places being named here in Acts 1:8, in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And there is something significant about where you are right now, where you live, your neighborhood, your building, your block, where you work, and where you play, where you have affinity with others, where you have hobbies and engage in relationship with others through those affinities. It's not an accident that you are in those places because the power is for a place. It has a purpose. And third, the power flows through a person. This is a flow-through power. This is a pass-through, flow-through power meant to meet the imago Dei and those around. It's not meant to simply be received, consumed, and expelled. This power is not food. This is a flow-through power. It's not meant to just be for you, but it is meant to be shared. We went camping a couple weeks ago, and as we were pulling in, we saw this pond off to the side. And it was a beautiful, almost iridescent green color. Not only was the water green, but it had this green film on top of it. It kind of looked cool, but my wife was like, "That is nasty." And you know what? It's because that pond was a reservoir. It's a reservoir that received water, and all it did was hold on to it, right? But I love what Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 38. Whoever believes in me, out of his belly or out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This power is meant to flow through us. And when we hold on to it, it's not a good thing. Tap your neighbor right now and say, I'm not meant to be a reservoir. I think many followers of Jesus end up miserable because they're trying to contain something that isn't meant to be contained. Are you with me? We try to hold on to that revelation. Oh, we try to hold on to that comfort that we experience. We feel so good with that peace that passes understanding, and we just want to use it. You know, my daughter, Trudy, has this blanket. She calls it her noni. And we got a blankie. It's the comfort of Jesus, and we just want to hold on to it and hold on. But we are not meant to hold on to the power and revelation and peace and inspiration. Because what happens when we hold on to something that is meant to pass through is we become bloated. We become miserable. And what we thought was meant for us to nourish us and to hold on to is really for us to experience and then to share and to give away. And I wonder if so many times the reason we're so miserable is because we're living with the wrong mentality, not realizing that this power is meant to be passed through. If we would just realize, we could experience a different level of living. We're not meant to be spiritual consumers, but spiritual contributors in this earth, where you work, where you live, where you play. Be a contributor. Where are you? Be a contributor. The power is meant, it has a purpose, it's for a place. It flows through a person. And number four, the power transforms a people. When we begin to share and to bring shalom, to embody and express God's love where we are, watch out. Watch out for what God is going to do, but even more, watch out for what you are going to encounter. You see, the transformation power of the gospel message explodes when we experience it together. Our Western view of life lived individually with individual responsibility for self, it doesn't jive with the gospel message. You see, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he taught us with a communal mindset. He said, pray like this, our, not my, our Father who art in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Forgiveness is communal as much as it is individual. Lead us. You see, we need to realize that the power transforms a people. It's not about a person, it's about a people. It's about the inflow, outflow, engagement, interaction with those around us. Paul, same thing. He used the phrase, our Lord, 53 times in the New Testament. You know how many times he used the phrase, my Lord? One time. You do not read the phrase, personal Savior, anywhere in the scripture. The gospel is a communal experience and message. The power that transforms does so in the sharing of it outward. It transforms us and those around us. And so Father invites us into a co-mission to heal, to restore, and to reconcile people with him, helping people find their way back to God by living from a place of his love. Recently, I had some rotten wood on my deck off the back of our house, and so I needed to fix that. Well, whenever I engage in a project around the house, My 5-year-old son, Bert, wants to help. But whenever he helps, it takes longer. Because he has to get his gloves. We got a picture of my man, Bert. Like those gloves. But you know what? He doesn't know where the gloves are. And so I got to go help him find the gloves. He can't get the gloves on, getting those little 5-year-old fingers in those gloves. I got to help him get the gloves on. Then I got to tell him what to do. I got to help him hold the boards. I got to help him point him where to go. When he helps me, it takes longer. I'm not letting him help me because he's making the job better. It actually takes longer. We went on a hike one time, Bert and Trudy and I, and we ended up on a trail that has a lot of weeds. And Trudy wanted to be carried, and Bert wanted to help. Here's the funny thing. When Bert helps carry his sister, we don't go faster. We don't get farther. But you know what? It ends up taking longer, but Bert wants to be on mission with me to help us get to where we want to go. I think about my wife, Nicole, who's a fitness and nutrition coach, and she will often create coaching videos or make training videos for clients to follow. And whenever she does, my daughter Trudy loves to help. But how many of you know doing push-ups with a 3-year-old on your back who's trying to help doesn't make it easier, right? In fact, it's harder. So you ask yourself, why? Why do we do it together with our kids when we could do it faster alone? What is it about them being a part of it? It's because we love to partner with our kids. We love the relationship that comes out of that. We love seeing them feel that sense and experience what it feels like to live on purpose and with purpose. And there's a fulfillment that they experience that then we experience back as a parent. God doesn't need you because he can't do it himself. Can I get an amen, somebody? But he desires to be in commission with you because he knows it brings you a greater sense of purpose, and he experiences that himself, and it is in the sharing of that mission that we experience a fulfillment that we otherwise wouldn't experience it. People say, well, you know what? Maybe if he did it himself, it would just go better because we mess it up, right? Can I get an amen, somebody? We mess up. I made a plenty mistakes, and I'm not bringing any witnesses to testify to that, but trust me, you know it's true because you have too, right? So why doesn't God just do it himself? Sometimes we wonder, God, just do it. You could do so much better. But think about this. God did do it himself when Jesus came to this earth. Jesus lived and loved perfectly. He was the perfect expression of God to the world. And did everybody come to Jesus? It actually says some people followed and then they turned away. You know why? Because at the end of the day, it's still up to the individual. It's still up to every person's personal responsibility to respond to the love of God. And so God chooses to work with us in commission to reach the world. The question is, are you on mission with God? Now, we want you to join, as we've talked about these last couple weeks, we want you to join with one of our partner teams. We would love for you to go on mission. We always say this. In fact, you can go to ncc.re/partner teams to check out the different trips that we'll be taking to join up with our partners. And we always say this. Everybody needs to go on an international mission trip at least once. Why? Because it shapes your worldview and it allows you to serve one of our partners who is out doing the work of the ministry, and we can come alongside and be an encouragement to them. But notice we said we want everybody to do that at least once. Let's take it down another notch. What do we want you to do even more than that? We want you to get involved in a local outreach, right? In a local ministry that is serving, whether it's serving our friends who are experiencing homelessness, or whether it's serving those who are seeking refuge in our country, or some other mission expression of God's love and hands and feet to this world. We want you to engage in those. We want you to be involved a couple times a year at least, if not more than that. But again, right, one time, a couple times a year, let's take it down to a whole nother level. We need to be living on mission every day, wherever we are. I love what Bob Goff says. God isn't dazzled when you go across the ocean, but he is when you go across the street. The invitation this week is to move to a place of living on mission every day. Ordinary people, empowered by God's Spirit, doing what Jesus did wherever they are. You see, being on mission is not about finding a purpose so you know what to do. It's about finding a purpose in what you're already doing, where you live, where you work, and where you play. We are called to step in to those opportunities. In January, we're going to be offering a 7-week intensive called Missional Pathway. And so I just want to put that on your radar to be looking for that. We're going to go deep dive on what it means to live on mission every day and talk about a missional pathway. So be watching for that. It's going to be limited space. It's going to be online, but be watching for that and excited to be able to lead that. But I want to give you a 5-minute crash course on how you can live missionally in your space. Essentially, there are 6 Mondays left in 2021. And so I want to challenge you with 3 things real quickly to live out over the last 6 weeks that are left in 2021. Here we go. I'm going to try to go through them quickly. Number 1, live with intention. Then I'm going to talk about look for engagement and love from the source. But let's look at 1, live with intention. Start by intentionally choosing to live where you are with intention. I love the idea of living on mission wherever we go. And that is the goal. But oftentimes the goal is so big that we don't actually do it very often or stick with it. And so can I just bring us back and say, will you pick a place, the last 6 weeks of this year, will you pick a place where you're going to live intentionally? And I want it to be one of those 3 places, either where you work, where you live, and I'm not talking about like inside the 4 walls of your house. I'm talking about your neighborhood, your building, your block, or where you play, whatever that affinity group might be. And I want you to set your intention to be the expression of God's power in those places. If it's where you work, every day you go to work, set your intention for that day and walk with God's purpose. If it's where you live and you say, you know what, I'm going to do a prayer walk around the block every day for the last 6 weeks of this year, then I want you, before you go out on that prayer walk, I want you to set your intention. And as you walk and you engage, greet people. Be friendly with people. And as that happens, God will open up a door for you to engage with people. So I want you to look for those opportunities, but I want you to set your intention. Do so in prayer that morning. Do so in your scripture reading. But then take a moment to choose to live on mission that day. 2, look for engagement. Listen, this is critical to understand this. Okay, I want to say something that I really want you to capture. Good missional theology believes that wherever we go, God has already been at work. This is not about you taking God to a place where there is no God. Good missional theology recognizes that God is already at work in others. God is already at work in the places around us. And what we are doing as we live on mission is we are looking for the opportunities, for the signs of where God is already at work, that we can engage in that with the God that is at work within us, right? I love my, Laura Batterson says, the image of God in me greets the image of God in you. It is about recognizing what God is doing in someone else with God, what God is doing in yourself. And what happens is as we watch for where God is at work, then we simply recognize it and join in. You'll see God at work in people who are hurting, who are afraid, who are sad, who are overwhelmed with anxiousness. And you will see God at work creating opportunity for you to step in and engage. But that's not the only place you're going to see God at work. You're also going to see God at work in somebody experiencing a deep sense of joy, of experiencing a revelation of meaningfulness in their life, of the creative side of God being expressed in them. So it's not always about some tragedy or brokenness. It's also about recognizing God at work in people's joy and happiness and expressions. But we need to be in his presence ourselves to recognize his presence in others. Live with intention, look for engagement, and last, love from the source. We need to realize that this power and this love does not come from us, but it comes from above. Pastor Zeb shared a story with our staff a couple weeks ago that I just really resonated with and could apply to my own life story experience by example. And that is this, that early in our marriage, Nicole and I used to love to try to buy surprise birthday gifts for her. Well, this one year, I bought a gift that I thought, honestly, give me a break, okay? I thought it was a really good gift. I know you want, I got her, essentially, it was a power tool. I know. Stop. I thought it was good. And you know what? When she opened it, she was so good. She smiled. She even unwrapped it. She posed with it, take a picture with me, and all this stuff. But then after that, she goes, okay, where's my real gift? Oh, I was like, that is your real gift. She's like, come on, this is a joke, right? I was like, it's not a joke. She was like, you got to be kidding me. And all of a sudden, I got my feelings hurt, right? And we ended up getting in an argument. I got so mad. I think I blocked it out the rest of the experience because I think I basically threw a fit like a baby. Why? Even though I was trying to express a pure love, granted, I know it was wrong, but I was trying from a genuine place of love. But you know what I realize as I look back on that? That no matter how pure my love of giving is, that there's still always a piece of myself that it's about. And when she didn't recognize that piece in me, I got selfish and I messed it all up. And you know what? So many times we live and we try to be an expression of love to the world, but it's really, there's always, almost always a piece of ourself that's in it. And so when somebody doesn't receive it, we throw a fit. We cut them off. We cancel culture them, right? We knock them out of the, and you know why? Because we're trying to love by our own power. The only way that you can love people with the love that is going to make a difference is to love from the source. So the invitation of the Father is to love from him, for him to be the source. Look, we've got 6 Mondays left. Will you step into the challenge to live with intention, to look for engagement, and to love from the source? We are called to bring healing, to restore, and to reconcile the world to him as we live from his love. Don't just know it, experience it. But don't just experience it, share it. Ordinary people, empowered by God's Spirit, doing what Jesus did wherever they go. Father, bless the word to the hearer today. Let us live it out. Let us walk it out. Let us express it in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.